This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I didn't suddenly make this movie and start practicing Hinduism. It's just something that's been part of my life for a very long time.
I'm a Christian, and I pray to Jesus Christ, our Savior.
It's now about one in five Americans who say the president is a Muslim. We also see in the poll a substantial drop in the percentage of Americans who say the president is a Christian.
The devil always has the numbers. But the devil, as we say here in Texas, is all hat and no cattle. He's got the numbers and the appearance of power, but it's all a lie.
Indiana truck driver, Travis Chisandra.
Well, it's something the Christians do every day. They should do every day. I imagine if we really watched ourselves on this point, we might realize that we go sometimes a day, sometimes many days, without consciously doing this, and I think Christians suffer from an awful lot of guilt when it comes to prayer. The Lord teaches us to pray. It's a simple prayer. It's not very long. At first glance, it doesn't seem to cover all the bases, but as we dig deeper into the prayer that our Lord taught us, as Christians often refer to it, the Lord's Prayer, sometimes called the Our Father for the first words, we realize that this prayer not only covers an awful lot, it covers everything. It is, in fact, the perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And it, I think, should be the prayer that's on the lips of Christians most often, if only for the reason that this is what Jesus said we should say when we pray. We're going to start our pastor's roundtable discussion of the Lord's Prayer with the first few words, Our Father who art in heaven, usually called the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. On this Thursday afternoon, August the 26th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live, and we invite your questions and comments for our pastor's roundtable for the first hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page. And right there, I think a little bit down the page, you can leave questions or comments for our pastor's roundtable on the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Michael Kettner and Pastor Wally Vanoskis will join us here in just a moment. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell will be with us. We're going to talk about personhood theory and human rights. We'll spend a little time with Mark Hemingway, a staff writer for the Washington Examiner. We'll talk about Tuesday's primary elections, some significant events there leading into the midterm elections. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be with us to talk about two issues a little later in the hour. The media coverage of the proposed building of a mosque near Ground Zero, she says it's not about Islamophobia. We'll also talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. We hear it more often than we like nowadays. Pastor Carlos Hernandez will bring us up to date, a five-year retrospective anniversary on Hurricane Katrina, one of the biggest natural disasters to strike the United States, and certainly for the 21st century. Pastor Carlos Hernandez of LCMS World Relief and Human Care to round off the 2 hours of Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Best questions or comment during this hour on the introduction to the Lord's Prayer will get a pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, 1-877-623-6943. Joining us here in studio, Pastor Michael Kettner, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Jacob, Illinois. Welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me. I sure appreciate it.
And joining us on the phone from his congregation, Concordia Lutheran Church in McCungie, Pennsylvania, Pastor Wally Vanoskis. Wally, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wally, first for you, let's talk about prayer in general. the disciples are earnest to discover how to pray from Jesus. But I think the problem that most of us have is not so much first the how, but just the that we pray. Do you pray as you ought to? Do you suffer, as I do, from kind of a chronic lack of prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us as fallen human beings struggle with that, and it really goes back to the garden. You know, what's at stake here is really the gospel, in that our Heavenly Father created us. He put us in paradise. He walked with us in the cool of the evening. We had, at that time, open and honest communication with God, and we were at peace with God. And that's the ideal in which we were created and for which we were created. And with that comes the break in the human relationship with God in the fall into sin. And so the reparation comes when God seeks out Adam and Eve. He seeks to continue to have this relationship with us, and God would end up coming in person and to reestablish that line of communication between human beings. And in the scriptures, it says it in many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has now spoken to us by his Son. And God has revealed himself in love and speaks to us in his Son Jesus. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And that which we in our sin have broken, God in his love now restores through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so that break in communication that happened in the garden is now restored through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now through faith in Jesus, baptized into him, we now have an open line of communication again with God. And so when the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray, Jesus says, when you pray, pray using these words. And he gives us the words to once again call God Father, our Father who art in heaven. And that establishes a relationship with God that was lost in the fall, now restored in Christ. And that is a unique thing for Christianity. Old Testament Jews don't relate to God in that way. Muslims don't relate to God in that way. But it's that intimate father-child relationship that we have through our Lord and our brother, Jesus. We have now received the adoption as sons, and so now we can come to God and speak to him as he has now reestablished this connection.
Pastor Kettner, when Jesus says, when you pray, say, does he intend for us to use those very words in our regular life of prayer, the words that he lays down there in the gospel texts?
Absolutely. When Jesus speaks and he says something, he means exactly what he says, and his words have great power. For example, when after the resurrection, and he appears to the disciples, he says, see my wounds and touch me. Now, I think oftentimes we think the disciples didn't touch him. Well, if Jesus commands you to do something, to touch me, then that's precisely what we should do. And so when Jesus says, pray these words, then that is exactly what we should do. It doesn't mean we can't pray other words as well, but it certainly means those words are sure and certain. Every prayer we pray that doesn't come straight from God's word, perhaps there's always a little bit of doubt. Is that really what God wants for me now? But when we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, we know with absolutely certainty that that is what God truly wants us to be praying, because he has told us these are the things we need.
When Martin Luther seems especially fond of this prayer, Wally, and he spends a lot of time talking about it. He preaches on it probably as much, if not more, than any other text of Scripture, single text of Scripture that I know of. And he seems to love the analogy, perhaps drawn from his own life, about how dear children ask their dear fathers for things. Take us into that, if you would.
Yeah, well, let's just quote Luther. In 1535, Luther wrote a little booklet to his friend Peter the Barber, entitled "Just a Simple Way to Pray," and he expounds on different parts of the Catechism, and particularly the Lord's Prayer. And this is what Luther says when he talks about the Lord's Prayer. He says, "This, in short, is the way I use the Lord's Prayer when I pray it. To this day, I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child, and as an old man, eat and drink from it and never get my fill. It is the very best prayer, even better than the Psalter, which is so very dear to me. It is surely evident that a real master composed it and taught it. What a great pity that the prayer of such a master is prattled and chattered so irreverently all over the world. And so he urges us to suckle at it, to draw our nourishment from it, you know. And he says that he's prayed this his whole life, and yet even as an old man, he can't get his fill of it. And I think that whole understanding or image of God as Father and us as children is twofold. One, it's our humility before God. One of the biggest ways that our human sin and fallenness manifests itself is that in our just human pride before God and before our fellow human beings. And so to approach God rightly is to be humble before him. And then secondly, that the notion of being a child is one of dependence, is that left to ourselves, we hunger and starve. You know, we are unable to provide for ourselves spiritually or physically. And the Lord's Prayer, as you unpack it in these coming weeks, you'll see it betrays that dependence we have as children on the Father for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for the spread of God's kingdom, and for daily nourishment. And so even when we come to pray, we come as children needing what this prayer offers us, and that is to teach us how to pray, to be humble before God, to be dependent on him for everything, for our body and soul. And so that loving relationship of child to father also is one of the gospel, is that we're not fearful of God as an angry judge, that we behold him as a loving and gracious father.
Pastor Wally Venazquez is part of our Pastor's Round Table on this Thursday afternoon. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Stay tuned.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Lutheran Radio in Exile. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Michael Kettner, Pastor Wally Venazquez is our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, August 26th. We're beginning our discussion, it will take some weeks, of the Lord's Prayer beginning with Our Father who art in heaven. Before the break, Pastor Kettner, Wally mentioned something about Luther, he was quoting from Luther in his letter to Peter the Barber on prayer, and Luther says, what a shame it is that this great prayer is chattered and prattled by so many. And that's what I think people are worried about when they kind of stay away from the Lord's Prayer. They're afraid because it comes from a book, because it has a set text, and because it can be simply said thoughtlessly, that to pray the Lord's Prayer itself is almost by definition kind of a rote thing that means nothing. How would you respond to that?
First of all, I challenge people at times, pray the Lord's Prayer and try to concentrate on every word you're saying and not get distracted in the middle of the prayer. And I'll be honest, I've yet to find anybody who can realistically make it through the Lord's Prayer without their mind wandering through it, because our brain just works faster than our mouths normally. So, yeah, there is a danger in saying words that we're really not thinking about at the time. But at the same time, the scriptures tell us that we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit groans for us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer out of faith in Christ, even if we might not be concentrating on every word, even if the words, our minds kind of wander a little bit, if we are praying that prayer in faith in Christ, that we have certainty that the Holy Spirit is in fact groaning on our behalf. And likewise for children, we teach the Lord's Prayer, hopefully, to our children at a very young age. Do they understand the words when we first teach it to them? Probably not. Does that mean that what they're doing is a waste of time? Absolutely not. The act of forming our faith is something the Holy Spirit does within us through His Word. And the words are powerful, the Lord's Prayer, whether we're concentrating on it, every word or not. Now, that doesn't give us the freedom to just mindlessly babble through it, but faith comes from the Word of God. The Lord's Prayer is the Word of God.
What does it mean, Pastor Vanofskis, to address God as Father in heaven? You mentioned before Father, that utter dependence that is found throughout the prayer, but what about Father in heaven?
Well, I think it highlights a couple of realities that on the one hand, it would make the distinction between our human and earthly fathers, who are fallen human beings like we, and that this Father whom we address is the one who is the Almighty God, Creator of all, and He is the perfect Father. He is the model Father of, you know, He is defining of all fatherhood, and that we even sing that in a hymn, I think, our Father by whom all fatherhood is known. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that He is almighty and all powerful. That not only does God bid us to pray, but He promises to hear and answer our prayers. You know, when Luther talks about this, you know, there's two reasons that we pray, and maybe we can unpack that a little bit. Yet, is the first is God's command under the second commandment. He calls us to. He bids us to call on His name, pray, praise, and give thanks. And so we pray because of God's command, but secondly, because of God's promise that He will hear and answer our prayers. You know, there are so many promises in Scripture. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. In the Psalms, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you, and He will deliver us. And so as Father in heaven, He is the perfect Father, and He is the one Father by whom we are all gathered and united as His children in the church, and He is the almighty and powerful Lord of the universe who has the means and the desire to help and protect His children and provide for them in their every need.
Just to follow up on that a little bit, yes, we call God Father because He is our Creator, but even more importantly, we call God our Father because He makes us His own children through faith in Jesus Christ. Through water and the Word, God adopts us as His own children. So, in one sense, every person in this world is a child of God, inasmuch as God creates them, and God grants us the things that we need to live in this world. But even more important than that is that we call God Father because He has adopted us as His own children through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's when we think of our Father, I think even more than thinking about his greatness and his power and his creative ability, that is important. We should think about that great sacrifice his son made for us so that we might be his children, both here and in eternity.
There's a passage that goes along with that, Pastor Vanofskis, where I think it's St. Paul, and he's not always talking in particular about prayer, but he does say that we have not been given a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of sonship. And then he says, and it is by this spirit that we say, Abba, Father. It's hard for me to believe that he's not making a direct reference to the Lord's Prayer there. Kind of the shortest shorthand you could have for the Lord's Prayer would be that word, Father.
Would be Abba, Father, sure.
So he seems to give a special place to this prayer as prayed by Christians together, as expressing that, what Pastor Kettner just described, expressing that spirit of sonship that is ours through Jesus Christ.
I wholeheartedly agree, Todd, and it's not either or, it's both and, that God is our maker and our redeemer, and we do pray to him as the one who has made us, but especially in light of the fact that he has adopted us in his son Jesus. And at the end of Galatians 3 and on the beginning verses of Galatians 4, he talks about that all who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ, and now we've been received that adoption as sons. And because we're adopted, we can pray to him, Abba, Father, as in Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to that same God, even as Jesus called God Father, we do too, in that adoption in Jesus. And so I concur wholeheartedly.
We're going to talk about the particulars of the Lord's Prayer in the weeks to come. But in introducing this, especially in his large catechism, Luther wants to drive home the notion that this prayer really does account for all human need. That, I mean, in that sense, it's a perfect prayer, not only that it comes from Christ, but it is a prayer that can, in a sense, stand alone in the life of the Christian to address everything the Christian needs. And Luther's quick to point out that that is because we are being commanded to pray for those very things that God has promised explicitly to give us, and we need never doubt that God will answer this prayer. What does it mean that Christians have abandoned this prayer for those that they suppose to be more relevant, more pertinent to their daily needs, Pastor Vanofskis?
Yeah, this is sort of the rest of what I wanted to say with the previous question, and you know why should we pray this prayer? Because these are our Lord's words, and part of our human arrogance always thinks that our words could be better if we could just make something up and pray it really sincerely from the heart, like that's better. The problem with our heart is that it's tainted with sin, and it's turned in on itself, and as fallen sinners, our prayers are more concerned about ourselves and our own needs. And not only does our Lord Jesus teach us how to pray, but to what to pray about. And he redirects our affections. And this is as much an instruction for us about those things which are most important in our lives. And so by praying the words that our Lord has taught us, it also teaches us about that which we should be most concerned about, our relationship with God the Father, with the extension of his kingdom, with that daily bread by which he sustains us day to day, to not worry about tomorrow, to confess our sins, to be reconciled to our neighbor, and all of those things that he lays out in these petitions turn our eyes from ourselves and what we think we need the most to those things which God knows that we need most for this body and soul and life. And so by praying these words, they're far better than any human word we can come up with, and they help us then by regularly meditating on these petitions, not just on Sundays, you know, during the divine service, but daily. There happen to be 7 days in a week, and one of the devotional books I use actually prays one of the petitions each day of the week. And if you meditate on each petition daily, and make it through the 7 in 7 days, that when you do pray the whole prayer to God on Sunday, you may concentrate better having thought about it all week long, and it helps direct your attention and affections to the things of God.
We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's our Pastor's Roundtable, August the 26th, talking about the Lord's Prayer. A listener with the best question or comment this hour will receive the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, our Facebook fan page. You can leave questions or comments there, facebook.com/issuesETC. You can send us a tweet at issuesETC or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just give us a call. This break is a great time to call with your question or comment on the Lord's Prayer, the beginning, Our Father who art in heaven, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or again, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Well, it sounds like Jesus isn't only teaching us how to pray, he's teaching us how to believe and what to believe. We'll talk about that after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood of Golden Gate is known for a lot of things. A woman died after getting the chemical abortion drug RU-486. The rape of an 11-year-old victim was never reported to the authorities. An online cartoon depicted a pro-abortion superhero who killed and decapitated pro-lifers. Now they're getting kicked out of affiliation with Planned Parenthood for financial irregularities called poor fiscal management. They filed three separate sets of numbers with the IRS. Their action fund failed to file tax documents for at least 10 years. Staffers within the facility even raised the alarm, detailing a myriad of problems they called mismanagement of funds. Should we be surprised people who kill unborn babies for a living have unethical business practices? I'm not.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Another half hour with our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, talking about Our Father who art in heaven, beginning our Pastor's Roundtable discussions week by week of the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Michael Kettner is our guest. He's pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Jacob, Illinois, and along with him on the phone, pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Macungie, Pennsylvania, Pastor Wally Vanofskis. Rick is on the line. Rick is calling from Rockford, Illinois. Thanks for waiting, Rick.
Hello.
Rick, what's your question or comment?
Yes, my question is, in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, we live in a society that's increasingly in contact with Muslims, and they have great difficulty with the concept of God as our Father. So how can we better understand what exactly we mean by our Father when we say God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that we may, in all boldness and confidence, ask Him as dear children, as their dear Father. Some people in our society would immediately shut down at the concept of father.
Rick, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Rockford. Well, it's true. I mean, a thoroughgoing Muslim, Pastor Kettner, would say that the God they worship, Allah, is not father in any sense, and he certainly is not father, as you said before, because he has a son. That is a teaching explicitly rejected by the Quran, that Allah has a son. So we have God as father. They have God as sovereign, if you will. How would you best explain to not only the Muslim but to society that what we're saying when we say our father?
Well, just to bring this down to earth a little more, just looking outside the Muslim faith, the concept of God as father, in our own society in which divorce has become so prominent, in which there is abuse from fathers against their children, and I've had this before where when you're catechizing youth who maybe have been abused by their father and you teach them to pray our father, they have a negative attitude toward that concept of father because they did not have a father who was a giving father. They had a father who was a Lord and demanding and expects a lot of them. And certainly God is demanding and expects a lot of us. But I believe Jesus chose that phrase, our father, not to express that view that he has a right to demand things of us, even though he does. I think he chose that phrase father because he could have chose any number of names for God or expressions. But he chose father because the father truly has the responsibility for the well-being of family. And in many families, the father just isn't doing that. So it's not just Muslims who really have a hard time with this concept of God as father. It's quite honestly many people who have had bad experiences with fathers.
Your thoughts there, Pastor Vanoskis. There are many who, you know, they feel at liberty to take a little license with this, not only in the invocation of the divine name, the Holy Trinity, but in the Lord's Prayer. And they say because father can be an offensive idea to some, let's just dispense with it and replace it with something a little more generic.
Yeah, I mean, that probably isn't the best idea. I think that the Pastor Kettner was on the right track, and I would agree with him, and I would just expand on what he said by saying that that the opportunity then is to reteach for the person who has a negative image of father, understanding of father. It's a wonderful opportunity to catechize as to what true fatherhood is, or true marriage is, or true husbandhood, or to engage. You know, a lot of people are lamenting that we live in right now in what some call a post-Christian society, or some might even call it a pre-Christian society, that there are no more Christian reference points. And there certainly are a lot of things that are wrong about that and troubling. The good news is that many people who we encounter, whether they be Muslim or atheist or, you know, whatever, they come with sort of a blank slate. And with on that blank slate, then, you can begin to create new reference points and new images. And I think for the Muslim who... you probably don't want to start with the Lord's Prayer and Abba, Father. Probably isn't the best place to start with a Muslim. But once you do have a relationship and you've actually engaged a Muslim, you can then begin to teach them about this the God of the Bible, who has revealed himself as Yahweh in the Old Testament and who has manifested himself in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and comes, you know, among us as the Holy Spirit, and you can begin to re-engage. But, you know, if Father is foreign to a Muslim, just throw out Trinity, you know. And so you have to engage that person, that child of abusive father, that atheist or that Muslim, where they're at, and begin, you know, with whatever reference points you might have in common. And then you begin to fill in the blanks and catechize and teach and lead them into the true understanding of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's a foreign concept to humans. But my point is simply that you wouldn't start with those things that are just so, you know, contrary, but you engage them in those areas where where there might be a connection, and then from there begin to build the story of the gospel. Maybe an illustration or an example would be in Acts chapter 8, you have this Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading about this lamb in Isaiah, and I can only imagine it's somewhere around Isaiah 53 that he's reading. Philip gets up in the chariot, and he begins with that passage, Isaiah 53, and then he begins to fill in the rest of the blanks, which lead him up to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, his life, death, and resurrection. And I can only conclude from where the text ends in Acts chapter 8 that he ended somewhere on Pentecost Sunday with Peter preaching the gospel and 3,000 people being baptized. And the guy looks up in the chariot, and he looks at Philip, and he says, well, what prevents me from being baptized? And so Philip drew all those connections for the eunuch, and he wanted that gift too. And for the Muslim or the child of an abusive household, we need to do the same, is connect the dots in a way that, I'm going to say makes sense, but in a way that reveals to them Jesus and his death and resurrection for them.
Derek writes us via Facebook. He says, my question on this part of the Lord's Prayer has to do with the nature of God. When Jesus recites this prayer, he speaks it in his incarnation as something he undoubtedly prayed to his Father. When we pray it, should we think of it as something we speak to the Father only, or to the whole Trinity? Thanks for all the hard work you put into this ministry. You've been a real blessing to me, and thank you very much for listening in Rockford, Illinois. Rick, what do you think, Pastor Kettner?
When we think of God, whether it be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can never really think of them alone. Yes, at times we address the Son, at times we address the Spirit, at times we address the Father, but they are a perfect unity with each other. And the Bible certainly, and as Lutherans, we really focus really on the Son, perhaps more than anything, because that Jesus has told us that we glorify the Father by acknowledging his Son. So we can never really address just one per se. It's either all or none, even though we might focus on one or the other more at different times.
Another thing brought up by Derek's question, Raleigh, is that this is the Lord's Prayer not only in the sense that he gave it, he's the author of it, but Derek suggests that in some way it's the Lord's Prayer in that it was also Jesus' own prayer. And I imagine the only question kind of bouncing out of that one is, what about the forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? What do you think there?
Well, it's the way we pray the Psalms. The Psalms were the prayers of Jesus, and they're the very prayers that we pray to Jesus. And in the sense that Jesus has come to become one with us and to be our substitute, he indeed, was tempted in every way that we are, but yet without sin, he has lived our life, and for us, he prays, "Forgive us our trespasses," and I guess we see that most vividly on the cross, when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And here you have the sinless Son of God being forsaken, dying the sinner's death in our place. St. Paul says it very succinctly, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so when Jesus prays, forgive us our trespasses, he prays that with and for us and in our place. And because he was able to pray that on the cross, because he was forsaken, we have the gospel promise that we will never be forsaken by the Father. And so that when we pray this prayer, we know that he will and he does behold us as beloved children and not as rejected or cursed criminals.
Let's take another break. When we come back, I want to address a point that Pastor Kestner raised during one of our breaks, and that is, the structure of this prayer, not to get into too many of the particulars, but the structure of the Lord's Prayer is a little out of sync with how we craft our prayers. Jesus rolls all of our earthly concerns into one petition, give us this day our daily bread, and all the other things that he teaches us to ask for in the Lord's Prayer are, if you will, heavenly, eternal concerns. And our prayers usually have the exact opposite proportion of petitions. We'll talk about that after this. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer, Our Father Who Art in Heaven, is its introduction and the beginning of our Pastor's Roundtable discussions of the Lord's Prayer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We base these Pastor's Roundtables on Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, which is the reader's edition of the Lutheran Confessions from the 16th century, completed in 1580. They're translated into English, so you don't have to worry about the Latin or the German. And the reader's edition is especially helpful because it is exactly that. I have had more lay people tell me that they, for the first time, some of them lifelong Lutherans, for the first time in their lives, have begun to understand in depth and in its fullness what it means to be a Reformation Lutheran through this book, Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. Very accessible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and order one for yourself. Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. This email comes from Ken in Orlando, Florida. Pastor Kastner, he says, Should we list every need that we have in a prayer? This is a great question. Or can we trust that praying for daily bread covers it all?
I think we can make an analogy to fatherhood in this world and our children. I have three children, the youngest being 16 now. I can't tell you, when they were 10 years old, each one of them thought they knew what they needed more than my wife and I knew what they needed. And of course, they were badly mistaken, really, and they'll learn that someday for themselves. So we didn't just give them what they asked for, and we didn't just give them what they wanted. We gave them what we believe they truly needed. Now, if I, as an imperfect father, and my wife, as an imperfect mother, provided for the needs of our children, the way we knew best, how much more does God truly know our needs? And so I don't believe we do have to have an exact listing of everything we think we need from God, because in the end, we need to ask for those things that God thinks we need. And getting back to what he had mentioned earlier before the break, in the Lord's Prayer, basically, we say six separate statements asking for spiritual or eternal things, and only one asking for physical things. So whereas we often get wrapped up in our physical needs of this world, even though God does want to supply those needs, even more importantly, God knows our greatest needs are not the physical things of this world, so the eternal things. And so we should not pray thinking we're letting God in on our secret desires and needs. For one thing, he knows them far better than we do.
Pastor Vanofskis, I've recently been doing what many fathers of daughters probably dread from the time the little girl is in diapers, and that is paying for a wedding. And it has meant. I mean,
you're
there are a lot of
hurting me. Go. I'm sorry.
I've got
a personal palpitation there, but go ahead.
It means a long list of things that are needed and need, just quite frankly, need to be paid for. And what I've discovered in the last several months of this interesting journey I'm on, a financial journey, I find myself praying daily bread. It's just those two words, daily bread, because I can't keep track of all of it. I don't know what is coming down the line. And I know that if it's going to get done, God's going to have to provide for this. Am I keeping it too simple? Should I be making a more comprehensive list for God to attend to?
Yeah, I don't think you should have to do anything, but you certainly are free to. To pick up on what the pastor was saying is exactly. We don't have to remind God what we need, nor do you, Todd. God knows exactly what you need, and he provides that. And as his loving child, even without you asking or knowing, he's providing those things that you need. Oftentimes our prayer isn't to remind God what we need, but to remind us that God indeed is in control and that he is a loving and gracious Father, and he's abundant in grace and mercy and blessing, you know, to provide all that we need to support this body and life, and we trust that. So when you do pray daily bread, it's as much a reminder to you as it is a cry out in faith to God that you are trusting him. You know, when two people go to a restaurant, I use this illustration quite often in church, they both sit down at a meal and they both order the same steak, the same baked potatoes, chives, sour cream, they have the same nice cold glass of beer, and the one guy prays and the other guy doesn't. Does that mean the guy who prayed, his food is more blessed or more healthy? No, it's exact same meal. God provides it exact same nourishment to both people, and God reigns both on the just and the unjust. The person who prayed, though, acknowledges to his Father from whence these good gifts come. And so when you pray, you're simply acknowledging to God in faith, and faith would be the highest worship of God, acknowledging in faith to God that you know that this food and this wedding will come from him, and it's a reminder for you, for your to be still my soul, you know, to lay yourself on God's care and mercy. And if daily bread says it for you, that's fine. If you care to enumerate photographer bows, weddings, gifts, and all of those things that daily, if that's more beneficial to you, feel free, Todd, to enumerate them all if you could. But it's to remind you that God is in control and he will provide.
Well, then finally, Pastor Kettner, there's God. He's the infinite creator of all things. He is the unapproachable, transcendent being of that we cannot imagine in his essence. How in the world are we able to call him Father? About a minute.
Solely through his Son, Jesus Christ, who offered up his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven in order to open the gates of heaven to all believers. Getting back to that steak analogy really quickly, there's a danger in prayer, and the Pharisees fell into this, as Jesus talked about. Do we merit something from God because we pray? And the analogy with the steak, the person who didn't pray versus the one who did. Did the person who prayed deserve something more from that steak than the person who didn't pray? And the answer is no. Prayer is a gift that God has given us to talk to Him. When we view it as something that we do to try to earn God's merit or favor, then it is no longer a gift. It is a work of the law and not of the gospel.
And then finally, Pastor Vanoskis, what comfort do we have when Jesus remarkably gives us permission to call His Father our Father?
We have the comfort of knowing that we are God's beloved children and that we are freely accepted by Him. And when we do call on Him as our Father, He does hear and receive our prayer, even as if Jesus Himself were praying these very words. And that's a great comfort and consolation to the believer who cries out in need, and to know and to trust the one who will hear and answer in the day of trouble.
Well, the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions on this Thursday afternoon goes to Rick in Rockford, Illinois. Rick, if you would give us a call back with your mailing address, we will send out a copy of the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to you. Thanks to everybody with their questions or comments for our Pastor's Roundtable. Thanks to Pastor Wally Vanoskis, pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Macungie, Pennsylvania. Wally, it's always a pleasure.
It was great. God bless you and your listeners, Todd.
And Pastor Michael Kettner is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Jacob, Illinois. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it greatly.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be with us in the second hour, along with Mark Hemingway. We will be talking with Mark about Tuesday's primary elections. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us. We're going to talk about media coverage of the proposed building of a mosque near Ground Zero. And she's noted some things recently in her Throwing Inkwells column of Christianity Today about taking the Lord's name in vain. Pastor Carlos Hernandez will give us his thoughts on the 5-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Hard to believe that it's been 5 years since that largest of U.S. natural disasters. Pastor Carlos Hernandez of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, rounding off the second hour of the program. He commands us to say these words, and that alone should move us to speak them with regularity in faith to God our Father, seeking those things that He has commanded us to ask. But this is also an invitation to faith, to believe what it is promised in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer begins not in our need, that's where we think it begins, but prayer actually begins in the Word of God, in what God has promised to us. And that is what the Lord's Prayer is from beginning to end, every word, every syllable. It is packed with the promises of God, all made sure and certain and kept for the sake of Jesus Christ alone. So it is the Lord's Prayer because He is its author. It is the Lord's Prayer because this is the prayer He prays. And it is the Lord's Prayer because it delivers all those promises and makes certain for us all those promises that are ours in Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. is next. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.